You're tuned to the Commander Todd Show on WFAQLP Mukwonago 101.3 FM. And it's time now to introduce you to and talk to our guest, Sean Verdoni, local author and person behind the three books, the Canoodling series. How you doing, Sean?
I'm great, Commander Todd. How are you this afternoon?
Oh, I am splendid. I am so splendid. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for popping in. You know, appreciate it.
It's probably the coolest place in Mukwonago right now. So.
Well, yes, I can't agree with that more. You know, that is truly a statement, both artistically and temperature-wise. Yeah, the studios here are always a constant 50 degrees or so, you know, round year-round, you know, for better or for worse. So welcome to the nation's music source. And let's get started by, if you could just want to introduce yourself a little bit and tell us and our listeners about yourself and, you know, living in the area here and getting acquainted.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, again, I'm Sean Verdoni, and I've lived in Mukwonago since 2000. My husband and I wanted to live in the country where there was also a really great school system and not too far from either of our where we would work. And so we built our house here in Mukwonago. As a child, I had a lot of different homes, and so we moved a lot. And one of the things that was a requirement for us is I wanted us to find a place where once the kids started school, we wouldn't move again or consider moving until they graduated. Mm-hmm. And so here in the Mukwonago school system, it was the perfect place for us. And it's actually a little reminiscent because when I was a child, my grandparents had a camper on Army Lake, but I didn't know it was called Army Lake until I was in like my almost like 20 years old, because we called it Grandma's Lake. So yeah. I had been in this area ever since I can remember. Yeah. And so Mukwonago has always been my hometown, and I love the different community events that we have here, as well as the community feel, that small town feel that we have. And then for me personally, I've been married, I'll be married 31 years this week to my husband, Rich. Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. I've always been a writer. As a little girl, I have a massive collection of short stories and things that I started since I was a young girl. And I had to put a pause on it for a variety of reasons, and we can get into that later. And then I went to school to become a teacher at UW-Whitewater, which isn't too far from here either. Right. And my student teaching was at East Troy.
East Troy.
So again, everything keeps coming back to Mukwonago kind of center.
Yeah.
I got my master's degree at MSOE for business administration.
Wait, what?
I know, that's a whole other story that you and I have in common.
Did you say MSOE?
I did.
Milwaukee School of Engineering.
Yes, and believe if
that is my alma mater.
It's my alma mater also.
Yay!
And
go Raiders.
Right? Right? Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then basically I picked up writing again in my mid to late 40s, early 50s. Mm-hmm. And the first book came out in 2019, I think. And then the second, 2020. Yep, I started writing it in 2017, and I finished it in 15 months. So that's where the 2019 came from. And then book two came out in 2021. And my third book is going to be launched tomorrow on the 18th.
June 18th?
Yes, sir.
And where is that going to be occurring?
It's going to be at 6 o'clock in the evening at the Mukwonago Community Library. And you don't want to miss it, because not only will I be reading excerpts from the book, but I also am a prolific baker, and I've got some baked goods that are going to be joining me there. So you might want to come by and have a little smackerel.
Ooh, yeah. It's all about the food.
Yeah. Amen.
It sounds delicious all the way around.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for the background. And the MSOE story, we'll have to expound a little bit about that. But tell us a little bit. Okay, so let's back up. So the first book came out in 2020. It was called
Canoodling Up North.
And the second book?
It's called Canoodling Out West.
In 2021. And the latest one?
Canoodling Always and Forever.
I sense a theme here. Excuse me, you know, but I may be wrong here, but canoodling.
Well, the funny thing is, I didn't set out to write a canoodling story. I was writing about how people build relationships. And my first book. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
help us understand, what does canoodling mean?
Absolutely. Canoodling, it's funny because to me the best word that represents that is being amorous, but I can't tell you how many people I've seen look like a deer in headlights when I say that word, and then they're afraid to ask me again. So I think the second best is romantic cuddling.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
Well, this is going to be an interesting interview.
If you like to cuddle, or you like people who like to cuddle, this is the series for you.
Obviously. Clearly. Okay. So it's cuddling and canoodling up north, out west, and now always and forever.
Right. Yeah. Right. And the funny thing is, when I was writing this story, the first focus group, they were trying to help me figure out a title. And so the original title was Canoodling with Schmoopsy, which had me laughing so hard I was crying. And I noodled that when I got home, and I'm like, that can't be the right thing. But I noodled on it, and I was like, you know what? People will pause and think of that word. Mm-hmm. And they might even pick up the book because of that word. And it's going to make people think. And when I looked on Google for books that had the word canoodling in the title, there's very few. So I knew that from a marketing standpoint, that would work really well in my favor. But towards the end, right when I was getting ready to publish, one of my dear friends who is a journalist said, look, you can't have this kind of a book with the name Canoodling with Schmoopsy. You got to change it.
It's like cute with sugar on top. Eggs,
it was
squared,
too,
you know?
Cheesy. And yeah, so yeah. Canoodling up north was born at that point.
Okay. Can you tell us just a brief, maybe synopsis? Not you know, give us the whole story here, but what brought you to begin writing after, you know, life and education and moving and all the things like that? If there's one point in your adult career here that brings you to put pen to paper, finger on keyboards, that kind of thing.
So I had to pause writing for a variety of situations where I had to focus on surviving, and I had to use all my energy to do that because of a lot of trauma and things that happened in my childhood. And then life happened. My husband and I got married, had two kids, and we both had careers, and so it was crazy. And I was writing, and I continue to write as a major gift officer and grant writer for the Pro Healthcare Foundation. But it's a different kind of writing. You know, it's persuasive, but it's towards a cause. And so I was looking to do something more creative, but I kept stopping. Around this time, I'm going to the Milwaukee School of Engineering, and anybody who knows my past knows my hatred for math at that time. Now we have come to an understanding, math and I. MSOE was the right choice for me because I could get in there with my undergrad grade point average and a letter of recommendation, which I had from a leader from MSOE, did that for me. Mm-hmm. And the reason I chose that school also is because I didn't have to do any testing. I could do projects. And so that was totally in my skill set. I was fearful of doing anything where I'd have to do a lot of rote memorization. And so I could use these projects, and they encourage you to do projects that relate to your business. Right. So that was another benefit to me, because nobody in my classes, including my teachers, knew what the heck philanthropy was. So I had free rein of the kinds of projects that I could do.
I see, okay.
But when it came to my finance course, at this point, I'm starting to feel fairly confident in my ability to take on these courses. And I'm just going to preface this by, our two children, anytime they took on something that was too hard and they wanted to quit, we wouldn't let them quit. We'd say, you've paid for this, you've earned this, you've got to figure out what your plan A, B, C, and if you have to go all the way to Z, you got to do that. Mm-hmm. And you tell these people, whether it's your teachers, your coaches, whoever it is, your bosses, that, you know, this is your experience and you need them to help you have a successful experience. So here's why I'm bringing this up, because I wanted to quit finance and say, forget this, I'm quitting MSOE. I'm about halfway through now at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm pulling D's, D minuses on my test
scores. Oh,
wait,
I thought MSOE was an easy school, right?
Yeah, maybe for you. But when it came to math and finance, it was not my cup of tea. It was, as I explained it to my professor, it's like learning calculus while your professor is teaching it in Mandarin. That's how I felt it was. And so my kids came back with, you know, hey, what's your plan A? You paid for this course. You got to get out of it what you want. If you want an A, then you got to go to your teacher. What do I have to do to get an A? And so...
Did you ground them then? Did you say, you're grounded?
You know what? Your children listen to you when you don't want them to. That's yeah. what I learned out of this.
Right.
So
another important life lesson.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I had to go back with my tail between my legs and go to my teacher. I know that there was crying involved. And I said, look, I know I can do better than this. I just don't know how. And so I was doing 40 hours a week at work at least. I was doing studying and homework and doing daily check-ins with my teacher for what averaged somewhere between 30 and 35 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And all of this is very logic based. And my soul was dying at this point. I was feeling like I just didn't have anything left. I didn't know who I was anymore. And also at this time, a local writer, her name is Amy Reichert, had come out with one of her books, and it was The Simplicity of Cider. And so I went to her, just to take a break from studying, I went to see her at the McGuanagall Library. And at that place, I told her about my stops and starts with writing. And she said, why don't you consider writing fiction? And I said, I never even thought about it. And so she said, you get to choose the ending. You can use all these great stories that you've started or these great family stories. Mm-hmm. And you get to choose the ending. And you can take, you know, his hairstyle, her laugh, and their business model and throw it into a character.
Yeah.
And so that somehow sunk in. And so anytime I was feeling overwhelmed, I'd just start writing, and that's what became Canoodling Up North. And then I continued to write for 15 months and ended with what turned out to be the ending of Canoodling Out West. And I thought, you know, that's my check mark right there. I wrote a book.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it turned out to be, I wrote two books.
Yeah. So you basically had a long manuscript or whatever.
Yes.
That you then wove into or separated into two separate stories or two separate books, actually, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow, that's a lot of writing.
It is, but man, was that cathartic.
Yeah.
And again, for somebody in her late 40s, early 50s, thinking that, you know, it's time to like start slowing down, I'm starting to find myself, you know, my creative juices are flowing. I'm waking up from these detailed dreams where I can see things in color. I'm actually got senses, you know, I'm smelling things in my dreams that I can incorporate into these books. And it was magical.
That was a gift.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But it was just before all of that was dying, you know, because everything was logical. I still try to balance so that I'm not always in this world, because writing, any indie writer you can talk to, you're thrilled if you can break even. That's mm-hmm. a goal.
Yeah.
I hope to break even.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So these books saved me.
Yeah. What a fabulous story and background, a little
Thank
bit of
you.
Foundation for why these came about, you know. We're talking with author, local author, Sean Verdoni today on the Nation's Music Source, WFAQ, LP McGuanago, on the Commander Todd Show. Thank you again for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit about Christmas and what that means to you and your family and how the creative process works in that sphere or that season?
I certainly can.
That snow globe.
So, again, we moved out here in 2000, and our kids were young enough that Santa was still visiting them, and we thought it would be a grand idea to have Christmas at our place. And my husband thought it would be an even better idea if we deep-fried a turkey, which we've never done before. It was very cold that winter, and early winter, so he kept buying gallons and gallons of peanut oil that the morning of Christmas had frozen solid in our garage.
Oh, I didn't know it could freeze. I suppose around here,
surprise,
anything.
Surprise, yeah. So, and the kids have opened up their gifts. They want to play with them. And so I'm trying to get everything else ready. And he's like, oh my God, I don't, he's trying to thaw it in the microwave and everything and slice it and try to put it in. And it's so cold, he wants to do this in our garage. So there's wood in the garage there, and it's leaking the oil because as it unfreezes, it's taking up more. So we've got oil spilled all over the place. He's got rags around it. And then he gets to the turkey, and the turkey's too big for the fryer. So he's stuffing it in and more oil. Oh, and before that, I should say, for a turkey, you're supposed to inject it with some juices. Yeah. Well, somehow he did it wrong, and it got in his eyes. It went all over the ceiling, on our kids, on me. I mean, it was everywhere, you know, and it was just one mishap after another. And I'm not even, it's a hysterical story. It's told it so many times that it's not that funny right now. But at the point that Christmas was over, people were asking me about my Christmas, and I couldn't stop laughing when I was telling it. So I finally wrote it down and gave it out to people who asked me what Christmas was like at our house, and so I gave it out, and they're also laughing so hard. My vice president wrote me back, and she's like, Sean, I kid you not, I had to change my clothes because I was laughing so hard I spilled hot coffee on myself. And so that just kind of clicked that people really like this kind of stuff. Yeah. So that became the Verdoni Christmas letter that happens every year now. And it's not the, you know, Schmoopsy and Boopsy have gotten valedictorian and salutatorian and we're going on this world cruise and everything.
Yeah.
Because people get frustrated with that. They don't want to hear about all your successes because that reminds them of how many, you know, things, mishaps, mistakes have happened in their life that year. So I talk about the silly, embarrassing things that happened to us. You know, me walking around for a half a day with toilet paper on my shoe, or, you know, the turkey incident, whatever those things are.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing about those, Commander Todd, is the feedback that I got was that people were not just reading them. They were reading them aloud around the kitchen table with the whole family. And in some instances, after they were done reading it, they'd share it with another family, a friend or another, you know, another relative.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realized that my storytelling was bringing people together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which was something that I wasn't anticipating, but what a beautiful, it was very fulfilling then. And so then I knew when I wrote the first manuscript that there was the possibility that if I ever published, people would want to read them.
Yeah.
And that's what's been happening. And one of the stories very recently, a woman from McGuanago has a friend in the state of New York and sent her the first book because she's been very ill. And the woman from New York was so happy to enthralled in that story that she reached out to me and she let me know she has a brain tumor that she's fighting.
Oh, wow.
And she reads these stories to help her get through her treatments.
Okay.
And the characters in my books, she says, are her best friends.
Oh, my.
I get verklempt every time I talk about it.
Yeah, I can tell. And us, too. How powerful is that to make that kind of connection on that level? It's solid gold.
Thank you. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, well done.
Again,
we're talking with Sean Verdoni here, the radio station WFAQ LP McGuanago, about her canoodling series of books. That the third one is being released. There's a book signing on the 18th of June at the McGuanago Community Library. Check it out.
Absolutely.
Very nice. Tell us about one of your characters in your books. Just pick a character and describe that person.
Well, I'm going to start again with another story. In books 1 and 2, his name is Damon. And what happened is, even pre me thinking that I was going to have a book, that I was going to write anything, I tend to collect memories. And I was at the time in our community choir with a lovely lady named Crystal. And I happened to be leaving the cousin's restaurant, and she was coming in, or vice versa, with her new boyfriend. And her new boyfriend was twice as tall as she was, and a beautiful ginger with the mustache and beard. He kind of looked like the Jolly Green Giant in flannel shirt and Wrangler jeans, you know?
Okay.
And so far, you know, I was
orange.
Yes. But he had these beautiful crystal blue eyes and dimples, and he had this wonderful boisterous laugh that just filled the whole place. And I just was like, something about him was just keeping me, you know, connected to the whole scenario. And it's like, I got to remember this for some reason. And then he looked at her, and Commander Todd, if you don't believe in true love, you would have been blindsided by that.
Mm.
There was like this aura about them when he was looking at her. It was just so powerful. And then the next thing you know,
it just hits you, doesn't it?
When you
see that,
and
I've witnessed that, and it's like a punch to the gut.
Absolutely,
you know?
And the beautiful thing was, oh, and I don't have it in here. I must have changed out. He's here in the town of McGuanago, or the village of McGuanago, a small rural town, wearing flannel and Wranglers. For lack of a better term, a redneck. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm fine with that. I've got enough camouflage clothes in my, you know, that I belong to the redneck society.
Yeah.
But he then quoted Shakespeare.
Oh my. Okay.
And I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
So when I started to look at who would be the love interest for the female protagonist, I reached out to Crystal, and guess what? Her husband.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise to me.
Yeah.
And I said, could I use, can I use, I can't think of the right word, but he inspired this character. Is it okay if I do that? And they're like, absolutely. And so that's how Damon was born, was because of this inspirational moment in time years before I started writing that I didn't want to forget.
Ah, okay.
And then Kat, who is the main female protagonist in Canoodling Up North and Canoodling Out West, and is also Damon's love interest, she's kind of like the idealized version of who I would have loved to have been in my 20s.
Hmm, okay.
With, again, taking a little bit from other people that I know, molding her into a character.
A composite.
Exactly.
Of all your favorites and bests.
A montage, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, speaking French now. Canoodling and montages. And hilarity ensues? I mean, they
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. So, so basically, the first two books really focus on, again, building relationships is my personal motto, my philanthropy motto, and it has become now kind of the mantra of the Canoodling series. What does this relationship look like? How do they get together? How do they handle conflict? That's, to me, where that's where everything kind of kicks in.
That's where it gets interesting.
It gets interesting.
Yeah.
Do they do it alone? Do they handle the conflict together? Or is it too much and then they break up?
Hmm.
So
those are your choices.
Those are kind of your choices, right?
Yeah.
And so what's happening in Canoodling Up North and Canoodling Out West, it's really about trust broken and trying to give trust back to love again. They both have had really crushing, devastating breakups. And with Damon's character, it actually caused a mental health crisis. And so you don't hear about it much in Canoodling Up North, the first book, but in Canoodling Out West, he has a second one that's just as close, just as devastating as the first that he has to get out of.
Yeah.
So it's, again, what happens when trust is broken? Can you heal from that? Can you allow somebody else in your life after that? Here's the kicker. So if you wouldn't mind me pretending that you and I are considering a relationship, would that be okay? Just for where my brain was in building the essence of this story?
Sure, we can go there.
Okay.
Yes.
And so
anything for radio,
right?
You know, for the art.
So here was my thought process. When I would commit to you in the relationship and you would commit to me being trustworthy. You're making that commitment that you'll always be honest with each other. In reality, I'm wanting to make sure that you're going to be honest with me. What happens when I have the secret? Am I going to be honest about it if it could potentially break up this relationship? So that's where books one and book two ask that question. In book one, Kat has the secret that's definitely going to impact the relationship. And if she tells him, she could lose him. Or they could maybe get through it together.
Yeah.
But if she doesn't tell him, he's definitely going to leave.
Ah.
And then in book two, it's Damon's secret that they have to try to figure out.
I see.
Can they move past?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that dichotomy, you know, it's like how far do you trust and then how do you trust yourself when presented in that type of situation with someone, you know, it's the knife or whatever cuts both ways.
And it's your, and that's what I was thinking of is you feel like, well, I'm just doing this vow thing just to get it on the record, but I don't have to worry about me.
Mm-hmm.
I got to worry about you. And then when it's your own, and you think of yourself as a good person, these are two good people.
Yeah.
But they're the ones that they each have a secret that's going to negatively impact the relationship.
Yeah. And do they see the hypocrisy or the possible hypocrisy there, right?
That's the hard part. It's like, but I really, this is a really good thing. Maybe if I just keep quiet a little bit longer.
Yeah, keep kicking that can down
the
road.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then what's beautiful is after I finished writing these two books and got them out, the focus group said, we are so in love with Kat's best friend, Orly. What happens to her? And so that's how book three came out. Orly, she is in devastating grief when we meet her. And she's doing all the wrong things to try to take care of that. Mm. She's binge drinking. She's having casual sex, you know, blackout drunk kind of situation. And so she's not handling her grief well.
No.
Not at all.
It doesn't sound like it, no.
And then she gets a hard talk. She has a hard come to Jesus talk with her landlady, who's also a good friend. Says, listen, you better shape up or ship out, you know, because... Mm-hmm. And I always have to have a dog in my stories.
Ah.
So in Canoodling Always and Forever, it's a brand new dog. I made him up, but I wish he was real. He's a Harlequin Great Dane that has one blue eye, one brown eye. He's got one ear that stands up straight and another one that flops down.
Oh,
and
I'm in love.
He is absolutely, and his name, you're going to love this, is Mumford.
Okay.
And the problem is Orly is a band teacher, and she also is she's the main singer in a local band, and he's deathly afraid of loud music and sounds. So he howls and cries anytime she's trying to practice. And then Mrs. Romansky, who is the landlady, knits him a dinosaur snood that goes over his ears, so it helps muffle the sounds so that he stays quiet.
Okay.
So can you imagine this 6 foot tall dog with a dinosaur hat on? I think it's just adorable.
Yes, I can. I think our listeners can too. That's awesome. Very cute.
And then the final character that I wanted to just share, if we've got time, is Orly's love interest, is a brand new character, and his name is Dylan Clark, and he is a young Episcopal priest who had like the perfect life with and fell in love and got married with his childhood sweetheart. They had three beautiful children. And she unfortunately died very young from ovarian cancer.
Oh,
so he's grieving as well. And so that's what connects the two of them for book three. And so the problem here, the challenge here is, how do you heal from grief? And do you have to do it separately? Can you do it together? Or do you have to part ways because you can't help each other the way your healing language is so different that you can't help each other?
Yeah, how does that mesh, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Thank you.
I love that. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We are discussing the books, the Canoodling series books, with Sean Verdoni, local author here in the Muquanago area on the nation's music source, WFAQLP Muquanago, The Commander Todd Show. Tell us about your capstone project.
Going back to my MSOE days.
Milwaukee School of Engineering. I have to, because that's my alma mater, as you know. I went to school there, got my engineering degree and business degree at the same building that we, you know, clearly we're, you know, not in the same time frame.
Right.
But we experienced probably some of the same teachers and some of the same struggles with that sort of thing. But you've got an interesting story about your capstone project.
Yeah. So again, because I'm Irish, I'm going to go back just a tad. I promise I won't take up the rest of the time for this one story. But again, I was in my late 40s when I went back to school and had panic attacks right before school started. And then in one of my classes, I had one where we were doing it was project management, and we were working on some kind of, it kind of was like a Sudoku kind of project that we had to work on. Mm-hmm. And the simple ones I could handle, and then they got more and more complex as the class time went on, and the numbers kind of like leapt off the page and started moving, you know, it was just awful. And so I had a full-blown on one. Again, oldest person in the classroom, probably the only one that doesn't understand math very well, and I had to get myself into the bathroom because I was having such a bad attack, and I cried for like 90 minutes straight and was hoping that class was over by the time I finally got myself done and got into the classroom. Still class. I was like, oh God, I'm going to just die.
Yeah.
But, you know, why I'm bringing this up is because that's where I started. I didn't think I had any business going back to school, much less
rock bottom.
Yeah, and I was at rock bottom. I'm in an engineering university. What the heck, you know? And so from that point on, I realized if I can conquer that fear and keep moving forward, I'll be okay. And when it came time for my capstone, I was so confident. And I knew what questions to ask, and I knew what resources that I had available to me. And at the time of graduation, the professor who was managing my capstone project got in touch with me, and she said, I've never, ever given 100% on anybody's capstone before, but I'm giving you one. And I was just like, I'm the oldest person. I can never do this stuff. I'm going to, you know, having panic attacks to having 100% on my capstone from MSOE. I mean,
wow.
Who does that?
Nobody. Nobody. Absolutely nobody. Except.
Thank you very much, you. Commander Todd. Yes, I so appreciate it.
Proud
Besides
of you.
My children, that and graduating from MSOE with my master's degree was definitely, you know, a top achievement.
Yeah.
And then the third one is actually writing books that people want to read.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Yeah, fabulous. I just love it.
Thank you.
It's such a contrast, you know, because you're creative, outgoing, you know, this gregarious and things. And then all of a sudden now you're, you know, hitting MSOE for a master's degree and their business college, which is tough all around. And then to excel and hit this out of the park, you know, with the capstone, is just an amazing, amazing thing. You know, it just shows you what, you know, if you put your mind to it, you can do anything, right?
Yep.
You know,
exactly.
With enough perseverance and your kids nagging you and reminding you of everything that you told them.
Exactly.
Well, you're doing something right.
Right. Again, they listen to you when you don't want them to.
Well, what else would you like to talk about as far as your book and your career? I mean, is there a fourth book in you? I mean,
oh, my goodness. So, yeah, again.
I'm guessing yes.
So, prior to even putting pen to paper for the Canoodling series, I had a very vivid dream about a young couple, and it was very specific to them, and I never wrote that story. And as I've brought it back to my consciousness, and it's like I got to do something with this, I've realized it's going to be part of a series. And wonderful as I was with math, I was also fabulous as a football mom, because I so understood football to the point where I was screaming alkalades when we didn't have the ball. because I was completely lost as to who had the ball at the time. And, you know, congratulating my son when he wasn't even in the play, you know. Yeah. So I was so good. But I was there. But what I found interesting about Maguanago football, and there might be other communities like this as well, but this is my only experience, is that it's a community event. It's kind of like how Wrexham is, you know, you see, do you, you have no idea what I'm talking about.
No.
Okay, so I'll just put that aside for a second. But the Maguanago football community is very involved, engaged, and very supportive of that sport here. And I didn't know anything about it, but Jonah had a passion for it. And so went to as many games as I could and such. And then the only thing I knew how to do well was the Thursday nights before a Friday night game, the team would get together and at somebody's house and have a team dinner. And so I can cook. I could do that well.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So going back to this dream about this couple, my thought is for this next series, it's going to be kind of reminiscent of how those Thursday team dinners were a community gathering. It was almost like a religion, you know, and
the ritual
of it. And then it's one of the guys, it's actually going to be three men that I'm going to follow. So it's another trilogy, if you will. And they're all meeting in Maguanago football as children. And I think it's Maguanago Braves is where they start. And then we meet them as adults, and they take this ritual of the Thursday night dinners and they turn it into a restaurant. And so it's going to be Dad's Barbecue is what the title is, the working title is now.
Yeah.
And the next thing is going to be taking each of those three boys, those men, and creating the story around them. And one of them is going to have a son out of wedlock. And so not only is it the ritual of the meal, but how they all three get together to support the raising of this child.
Oh, okay.
So there's going to be some components where the child as an adult is kind of narrating the story from his perspective as well.
Interesting.
So that's that one.
Wow.
And then there's a standalone that I want to do, and I apologize if this is off-putting to you, but I'm in this phase of my life where there's a lot of changes, and I know a lot of women who are also having a lot of changes, and they're embarrassing, and they're funny, because if you can't laugh about it, you're going to cry about it. And so I've got a wonderful story in my mind about what this woman is doing, kind of like where I was right before I was reading these, you know, where I'm lost, and I feel like my soul is like dying. So that's where this character is going to be when we meet her, and then seeing her journey to find herself. So I don't have a title for that one yet.
Okay, but they're all percolating
inside
you,
and
dreaming about them and getting the vivid impressions and inspirations for the next steps.
Absolutely.
Fabulous.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to hearing more about those and experiencing them as they come to life. Where can people find out more about your art? Your work here? Yes.
So I do have a website, and it's very, very intellectually stimulating. It's www.seanverdoni.com. I know, it's a real surprise.
And Sean with a W.
Let me spell it.
Please
it's
do.
SHAWNVERDONI.com.
Okay.
And then I also am getting a lot better at Facebook. I do also have an Instagram and an X account, but I'm most prolific on Facebook. So that's where I keep most of the activities going as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got, if you can't make the one at the library, I do have, I think, 8 other book signing events or author events in conversation with the author with other local libraries and some indie bookstores as well.
The Sean Verdoni Summer Tour 24.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you got something a little bit more fun to call it, let me know.
We'll think of something. Yeah, some smashing marketing scheme here, you know.
Absolutely.
But thank you so much, Sean. Appreciate you coming out and sharing some time and your stories about your stories here with the Nation's Music Source and WFAQLP Maguanago, the Commander Todd Show.
Thank you, Commander Todd. This was so lovely, and I so appreciate our previous conversation to get to know you, and then also this one today as well. This has been fabulous.
Yeah, you're welcome back anytime. And looking forward to more conversations like this, and certainly as things progress with your other books that you're thinking about and working on. So, yeah, come on back.
All right. Thank you for the invitation. I'll keep that in mind. And when the other books start percolating, I'll let you know when I'm ready to start talking about them.
Fabulous. All right. Thank you so much, Sean Verdoni.
Thank you so much, Todd, Commander Todd.
You're tuned to the Commander Todd Show on WFAQ LP McQuantico, the nation's music source of 101.3 FM and WFAQ.com.